Welcome to Leveraging Leadership, where we unpack the art of business leadership. I'm your host, Emily Sander, Chief of Staff turned Executive Leadership Coach. In this series, we dive into the role of Chief of Staff, exploring how it can be a game changer and pivotal player on your leadership team. You'll get a backstage pass and learn about the different aspects of the role and what it takes to excel in it. We'll hear from some incredible guests who have firsthand experience serving as Chief of Staff or collaborating with one on their team. And don't forget, the Chief of Staff isn't just a title or person, it represents a leadership philosophy. Leveraging Leadership is all about finding your points of greatest influence and leveraging them to better serve those around you. Welcome back. We are joined by Kalen Stanton, and he is a former Chief of Staff, and he's now on to different things, which we'll hear about in the episode. But first of all, Kalen, thank you so much for joining. Welcome to Leveraging Leadership.
Thanks, Emily. I'm excited. Yeah, what a great topic, and looking forward to the dialogue.
And I feel like this is kind of full circle or the circle of life or something, because when I first became Chief of Staff, we were connected by a mutual colleague, and you had previously been a Chief of Staff. And so she recommended that I speak with you just to get familiar with the role and to get some pointers and tips. And you were kind enough to take time out of your day and talk through this kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like Bambi, deer in the headlights, what have I gotten myself into? And you gave me some great, great pointers at the beginning of my tenure as Chief of Staff. So something I've always remembered and appreciated, and so glad we could stay in touch and that you could be on the podcast. So with that said, first, a quick icebreaker question, most important question of the interview. What did you have for breakfast today?
What did I have for breakfast? Eggs.
Eggs.
Good and coffee, of course. Amounts of coffee.
Caffeine straight into the veins, if you can.
That's right.
So. Eggs and coffee. Beautiful.
That's right.
So getting into your Chief of Staff story, you have a great setup story. So you're in the lobby, you're in the kind of waiting room, waiting area of an office, and you're there to interview for a job, but not for Chief of Staff. So can you take us away on how you got into that role?
Yeah. So it feels like a lifetime ago in Nashville, and I had been finishing up business school and was trying to figure out what was I going to do with the next chapter of my life, having come out of healthcare. Actually wasn't sure I was going to get back into healthcare, and through various connections had met this company, which was essentially, it was a management consultancy that had been around about 20, 25 years, grown up out of Nashville, and worked with primarily with health system sponsored medical groups across the country. Things like patient access, creating new strategies, value-based care networks, things like that. And so consulting was it was pretty interesting to me. At the same time, I felt like I probably don't know enough yet that someone ought to pay me to come and tell them how to do something. So I just kind of approached this, like Truett Cathy would say, seize unexpected opportunities. And I walked into the office there in Nashville, and was applying for or had an interview for this consulting job. And so I was actually sitting in the waiting room for the interview when the HR leader came in and said, "Well, Kalen, it's so great that you're here today. Mr. Dean," so my soon-to-be boss, she said, he's excited to talk to you, but unfortunately, the role that you came to interview for is no longer available. But we still want to talk to you about something he has on his mind. He's been thinking about. So, well, that's a great way to start start the day. Went back into his office, and this is the CEO of the company, and he's sitting on a purple bouncy ball.
Nice.
And he says, "Well, sitting's the new smoking." So trying to, keep things lively. And I said, "Okay, this is, again, going great." And he says, "Here's the deal." He said, I've just sold my company we've had a great run, but we sold to a publicly traded company. We're now a part of this big think tank, research, technology, consulting, and there's a lot of big expectations. So So on the one hand, we're still doing great consulting work, and I, the CEO, get to spend my time with one or two clients, and that's really important. So part of my life is there, but then a lot of time is going back and forth to DC to report on how we're doing, or meeting with 20 or 30 CEOs of these large health systems across the country to better understand what their challenges are, and of course, offer how we might be able to support them in that. And so I'm making essentially a lot of promises, and I need to make good on those promises. So we're just at a scale now that getting on that many planes and having to meet with that many people, and then, by the way, on Fridays, we've got a company to run. And so he said, essentially, there's not a job description. I just need someone to help me do all of that. And so if you want to write the job description, that might be the first thing you do. And would that be interesting? And I thought, well, yeah, when am I going to get an opportunity like this to really dive into something that, frankly, I wasn't prepared for in many ways, but that I thought would be a great learning opportunity as well.
And so did you end up writing the job description as chief of staff? Is that the role you selected?
We didn't. I think we said, what did we say? Consultant, comma, office of the CEO. And they never had a chief of staff before. It wasn't like there was an archetype. And in fact, we talked about it because he said, I've always wanted this chief of staff role. But if you look across the industry, there's 300 different versions of it. You know, the military, you know, has their own version of it. The West Wing, if you're watching television, there's a version of it. Physicians and a chief of staff in healthcare they're all very different. So we just thought, let's start with something people in the company will understand and then run with it. And so with that, though, what he did that was really important is he said, I'm going to help make sure that as great as I know you're going to be getting to know people and building trust, I'm going to help set you up for success. So I think it was week 2 or 3 after I had a little time to find the bathrooms, he sent an email and talked with most of the leadership team in the comings and goings and said, if you haven't gotten to know Kalen, I want you to do that. You need to treat him going forward as though you are working with me.
Yes.
So anything you would share with me, I want you to share with him. Anything you think I need to know, let him know it. If there are calls or meetings, files, you know, anything that involve me, he's going to have access to it. And so I think that was really helpful looking back, because I think most of my life and career, I've had to learn the value of earning the right to a relationship, right? And leading by influence, et cetera. But it goes a long way to set from leadership to the rest of the table expectation of what success in the role is going to be. So I think between our mutual parts to play there, he did a very good thing.
That's such a good way to set up a chief of staff, or anyone really, if they're in an executive leadership role, explaining to the rest of the team, hey, here's this person coming in, here's the scope of work and how I expect things to be done, or how I expect you to interact with this person. I think that it sets you up for success, and you still have to do the work and you still have to earn the trust and build the bridges and all those things. But man, what a good intro to the team. It starts strong with a strong foundation. Everyone's clear on like who is this new person, and they have this odd title, and like what is Kalen supposed
right.
to be doing?
Right.
So that was great of your boss to do that. And then I know that your initial title was so people it would make sense to them, which I think is a key point. So anyone listening, if it's like, hey, no one's going to understand what a chief of staff is, call them something else, but they do the role. And then it morphed into an official chief of staff role. And so I'm wondering, when you approached being chief of staff, who did you see as your customers internally or externally? Who is the chief of staff serving in your instance?
That's a great Great question. I'd say everybody. and so maybe thinking about it in groups of customers, as I had my boss, so the CEO, and primarily that leadership team, our partners. So my primary, that inner circle of customers, day-to-day customers, would be that leadership team and whatever our priorities were. It could have been project related. So we have two or three partners working with this large academic health system on the West Coast. And so we're spending part of our week together and I'm interfacing with them there. Or it's maybe we're getting everybody together for quarterly and annual goal planning and quarterly leadership gathering and setting the agenda for that. And I'm working with them on making sure that the agenda's right, people's roles are right, and bringing everything they need to achieve together. So there's just the leadership group. I think that's one group. However, then you have clients. So I have to essentially represent the CEO, the office of the CEO, to our clients. And then there's really all of our team members. So when I was at the office, of course, I couldn't come off this way because people would kick you out if you did. But at least in my head, when I walked into the office every day we were in Nashville, I would walk the office and I would spend time with almost every person I could in some way, for multiple reasons. One, I just love being in relationship with people, learning things I don't know. What are you guys working on? What are you inventing? Because it's awesome. But also, it's amazing what you'll glean walking the halls that a lot of times the CEO needs to know. And it's not like, hey, here's what so-and-so said, but it's, hey, I have a pretty strong conviction that this could be going better, or I'm hearing that this isn't going so well, or people don't understand this. And you're just going to have to trust that I know that with good reason, yeah. Right? So I think when you look at all those different customers, whether it's our leaders, our clients, or our team members, I looked at them all as my customers because I'm supporting the CEO. So I have to own the whole, right? Not just parts of the company. His success is the whole company's success. So to me, I've got to walk in every day thinking about the whole company.
Hi, Emily here. I just wanted to take 10 seconds to highlight the power of one-on-one coaching at nextlevel.coach. Get the tools for success and leave each session feeling refreshed and refocused. And that's one of the most valuable things you can do as chief of staff is do those walkabouts, I call them. And I love doing those. So first of all, it got me up and out of the office, right, which I enjoyed. I just walked around different areas of our office and just talked to people like, hey, what are you working on? You know, what problems are you solving today? Where, you know, where can something be made easier? Mm-hmm. And similar to you, if I started hearing, let's say this one project, like this is a pain point for this team. And then I walk over to this part of the office and the same project is a pain point for that team. And I start, okay, putting this together, there might be a collective, this seems to be something we can help make easier for our teams. So let's work through some solutioning there. So that's one of the things I got from it. And then people started, at first they were like, what are you doing in my area? Like, what are you doing in my section? But then they got used to Emily walking around and they would just have a chat, just like a friend, or like, oh, hey, Emily's around, or, oh, hey, let's go, you know, have coffee or whatever. And you just start building relationships at all levels of the organization, which, as you mentioned, is so, so important because you have to look at the whole picture and you have to consolidate that and kind of tee up what's most relevant and helpful to your principal. And I think that's one of the ways that a chief of staff adds value. If you were trying to describe other ways a chief of staff can add value to their principal or to their leadership team or company, or just how they can be effective, what other things would you mention?
Yeah, I think, so again, owning the whole, right? means that you're going to have either week to week or month to month or day to day priorities that you're having to get done. Some of it is likely, in any given case, you're likely doing things that are part of the job description that are simply staying ahead of the train, right? Keeping it on the tracks, making sure the way is clear, making sure people know the train's coming, whatever that is, right? But at the same time, I think in order to truly be successful, you start to think, how might the train be better? And how might the tracks be designed better? We could be doing all this better, right? So you also, I think if you're in a good place as that individual, but also as a team that sees value in this role, you're also a bit of an innovator because you're in and out of all these different aspects of what the company or your principal and the leadership team are doing. And so I think in my experience, I found a lot of times I was either adding value to the whole or each leader by being able to see what everybody was doing and then go circle back around with this person or that person and go, you know, you mentioned that what would really help this practice or what we're doing over here is this. Well, I don't know if you have heard what so-and-so is working on, but what if I bring that over to your desk and you two talk, you know, things like that. And so I think a lot of times what you end up doing is you're innovating. You're not just building trust between yourself and others, but also between different silos in the organization. You're breaking down silos and not as a hoarder of information, ideally, right? Not here's what I know and let me bring it to you, but hey, let's get you together, right? Either these leaders or these teams that are at risk of being siloed. So I think that's a big part of it too. But also, again, you're building trust and culture. That's, I think, a big part of the role. And when I think getting a couple years into my role, when I was really in that chief of staff role, I think the hat I was often putting on was not just strategy or operations, but also culture, and making sure people were included, they felt like they belonged. And I was often best positioned to seek out and find those people by the nature of what I do.
And I think culture, if you're a chief of staff, if you're any executive leader, you are designing that culture, whether you like it or not, just right. by how you show up and just by your interactions with others, because people mm-hmm. take their cues from their leaders. And if the leader, is stressed and is blaming everyone all the time, well, that's kind of the culture. And if that's what it takes to be successful in that environment, then you set the tone that way. Conversely, if you're asking questions and if you're trying to share helpful context and background information to different parts of the organization so they understand better, that's also part of the culture. And I heard, I was listening to a podcast and they were mentioning people often ask the question, would you like working for yourself? So you as a boss, would you like working for yourself? And they said, that's a good question. They yeah. also said, if everyone on your team was doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. meaning showing up how you're showing up and setting the tone and interacting like you would that contribute positively to your team and company? And I thought, that's a good question. That's a really good question to ask. So I think culture is just inherent. And as you mentioned, a chief of staff is interacting with so many different parts of the company and so many different players and people at all different levels that you can have a big impact. And I think I always say a chief of staff has a perspective that no one else in the company has, no one else, yeah. including the CEO, because you've got right. the different conversations and relationships and things like that. So in terms of thinking about a chief of staff as a specialist or generalist, I've kind of heard yeah. different things, and it can be used in both ways depending on the situation. But how do you see that?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things, but my bias is I think in almost all cases, I think it's being a generalist with an asterisk. So being a generalist in that, again, your purview is enough, it's wide enough to take accountability for the whole and everything that is within the purview of that principal or the business or the part of the business that you're in. And so I think by nature of that, you kind of have to be a generalist in some ways, but maybe with two asterisks. So on the one hand, I think you have to, whether you are an expert in part of the business or not, you have to be able to understand enough about the rest of it to really add value and see how the puzzle pieces are all connecting, right? If you don't understand at all what this team does or what this part of the business does or the economics, how we make and lose money in each aspect of the work that we do, and you're just comfortable with it being a mystery, that's a high risk situation for both yourself and the company. So I think in some ways you have to be a generalist, at least in that you extend your knowledge into those areas enough to appreciate the real experts. But you've got to have enough of a generalist understanding of the business to really add the most value that you possibly can. But I think the other asterisk is really every person that steps into a role like a chief of staff is going to bring their own DNA and their own strengths, their own weaknesses, your personality type or your Enneagram, right? And so you're going to have certain defaults. You're going to have certain challenges that you have to overcome. When I took on the role myself, and I said to my spouse, I said, part of this makes me nervous because I can't keep track of where I leave my keys in the morning. So how am I going to do that times, you know, 1,000 for a whole person or a company? And so there were, I think for every person, they're going to have these areas that they just have to develop. And hopefully that's exciting to someone when you're taking on the role of chief of staff. But I do think it's important that you have some sort of a generalist competency and expectation. But also, I think that's an opportunity. Hopefully it's exciting that you'd say, and here are some things that I get to learn that I didn't know. And it's going, the way that I had to develop and grow into that has now set me up for, I would think, to be more successful in the role I have now, because most of my clients are C-level executives, and having supported a CEO and or our leadership team as long as I did, I take on their responsibility every time I get on the phone or on a Zoom call or in person with them. I put my brain into their world. I may not be an expert in their specific world, but I'm familiar, right, with what's at stake. And I think for anybody considering a chief of staff role or living in it right now, that's also the opportunity, is learn everything you can about the roles, about the business, and how you can be an influencer of that for the better.
I think a chief of staff has to be interested and curious about business and about people.
Yeah.
Because if you're just naturally interested, what does that department do,
right?
Or like how does that move from this team over here? If you're just naturally a person who's interested and ask those questions, I think you're well suited to be a chief of staff. And it's not a character flaw if you don't, and you're just like, I like to learn one thing and then, you know, do that over and over and become very good at it. That's definitely value in another way. But people often ask me, you know, is chief of staff the right role for me? And I'm like, that depends in a million different directions. But one of the things is, are you interested and are you naturally curious in about business and people? So when you were describing that, that's what came up for me. You mentioned that you are moving around and doing 100 different things. What are some ways that you kept yourself on track? You said, you know, I can't keep track of my own keys, but yet I've been given the keys to the kingdom and have to keep track of
right,
a whole leadership team. So how did you manage that? What are some tips or tricks there?
Yeah, I think so one benefit I have is the person I was working with was very structured. And so being curious, actually, right, and learning and studying. I think one thing that was of help to me was just learning what is that structure and how do I optimize it? How do I cater to that design for that? But then also, I think building a team around so that you're not by yourself in this role either, right? So building a team around you. Debbie, who was in our office as well, kept all the trains on time. If you asked her, she certainly didn't need me. She was already an all-American rock star. But we were a team, and with that, there were others that I think, when you brought their skill sets to the table, we made a lot of magic happen. And so I think part of it was, I just had to develop some consistent routines, structures. We had check-ins, but again, all that can be helpful, but life doesn't happen that structured. Things in business don't happen once a week, right? They happen in the moment. You have to have room for flexibility. And so I think that's actually where some of my strengths, being comfortable in the ambiguity and the chaos of any given day, paired well with who I was supporting. So we had structure, and then we also had, I think, the room just being in constant relationship and working with each other, having that open communication. If I was cracking the door coming in, it was with good reason, right? Those kinds of things. So I think just having a balance, I had to find a balance at least in saying, here's a successful structure. Here's a successful team of talents and people that we need to keep each other accountable. But then also, here's the freedom and trust and flexibility to make it work when all that fails.
I love that. It's kind of like, have a plan so you can change the plan. Because
right. Yeah.
With chiefs of staff, one, you will learn every day, sometimes every hour of every day, and be almost forced to learn in certain aspects. And you will never, ever be bored. So a chief of staff is a lot of things, but boring is not one of them. And I think what you said about knowing your structure or your plan is going to get rattled a little bit throughout your day. It just is, and leave room for that. So when I'm talking to clients about this, I'm like, it sounds like you're under the expectation that everything is going to go to plan. And that everything is going to go smoothly right. And easily. Can you know, right. Is that worth taking a look at? Because if you're like, oh, we have the plan, and then we change the plan when stuff inevitably comes up, that's a very different expectation, probably a more realistic one. So that's a good thing to mention as well. So yeah. Kaitlin, as we round out here, when I first contacted you about being a guest on this show, you said, I'd love to, but I'm in East Africa at the moment. So can you yeah. just give a little description of what you were doing there?
Yeah. So actually for almost 20 years, I've been spending time in parts of Kenya and then around the general area, just getting involved in great programs and communities that are helping connect people with great ideas and the resources to kind of grow those ideas. And one of the organizations that I've gotten more and more involved with over the years, it's called Global Connections, a not-for-profit. And basically, we do a lot of that connecting, but really just as business leaders, as volunteers, whatever path of life we're walking, we all kind of come together to learn and serve with people that I think deserve the opportunities that many of us have. And so my focus in years of late has been more on healthcare. There's some great health leaders and organizations across East Africa that are doing all kinds of amazing things. There's a 357-bed hospital staffed with a little over 700 people, 700, not 7,000, right? And they are making miracles happen. And so I love to spend time just to, for one, be in relationship with people that oftentimes are coming from very different backgrounds and ways of thinking, but also just learning so much. I mean, how do we do that with 700 people? What could we do in the United States in healthcare if we took on a similar approach to some of what we're trying to solve? So it's a lot of excitement, but also I do spend a bit of time as well kind of paying forward what I've learned in career and life and leadership. And so I do a bit of writing, something called Between the Lion and the Leopard.
Yes.
It's just a little bit of an ongoing journal online, but they're stories. And sometimes they're stories about the executive suite in an academic health system, trying to figure out as humans how we make decisions about really important things, but always connected to some what might seem like a very different arena in the savannah of East Africa or some experience I've had in a different part of my life. So yeah, when we talked, I was actually over there and doing a little bit more writing and spending time in fellowship with people.
Wow. And are these short stories? Are they like
very short
posts?
They're okay. 3 to 7 or 8 minutes. About sometimes some pretty crazy, unbelievable, seemingly unbelievable, or also just really true to home, day-to-day types of experiences. And, you know, it's just that leadership is often very hard because it's not black and white. You have to figure out how to serve two customers. You know, as the chief of staff, you're serving your principal and you're serving the rest of the business, or you're serving your clients and you're serving Wall Street. And it's not just that one is happy and the other isn't. We have to find that balance, right? So that's a lot of what it's about. And what I do in my work at Root and Accenture is helping a lot of leaders and teams find that balance, but try to get thousands of people to see that bright future and create a strategy or culture that will help get them there. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Can you say the name of the short stories one more time and where people can get that if they're interested?
Yeah. It's The Lion and the Leopard. So lionandleopard.com. It's just, it's very simple. You'll see it's there's no frills.
All right. We'll have that in the show notes along with the Root and other information. But Kaylin, thank you again for being on. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. And I like when we catch up and we kind of just caught up on a podcast episode this time. But I know that the information you shared is going to be valuable to people. So thank you so much for being on.
Well, Emily, thank you for what you're doing. And yeah, best to everybody who's following along and in their careers.
If you'd like some more information on the topic discussed in this episode, head over to nextlevel.coach and click on the resources page for some helpful free downloads.